Hi, welcome to the Passion Podcast. This is Louis Giglio with our Christmas edition, our festive holiday cheer edition of the Passion Podcast, coming to you from the Passion House in Atlanta, Georgia. It's awfully good to be back. Been a little bit around the nation and around the world in the last few weeks, and it's great to be back here. We're in the back room of the Passion House, which is normally kind of a cool vibe hangout, staff meeting, large group meeting kind of room. And right now it looks like complete warehouse world back here, Jonathan. I don't know what you guys are doing in resources. If you don't know, Jonathan manages all of our resources worldwide. And I don't know what's going on, but we just kind of did a rough count of the boxes, about 18,000 DVDs in the room with us right now in boxes that are about eyeball high, taking up a fair portion of the room back here. And I'm seeing How Great Is Our God. There's Passport, there's History, there's a couple of other series, and that's not counting the 10,000 indescribable DVDs that are supposed to be in here today that are coming on Monday. So we've got something crazy going on, and half of these are going to you fine people in South Africa through some of our distributors there, and about the other half, something like that, are going to you wonderful people down under who are having great summer days these days in Australia and New Zealand. And so I don't know what in the world is going on. I don't think anybody knows what in the world's going on, but something crazy is going on. So amidst all the DVDs hunkered down in the back room of the Passion House, we are happy to bring you what will probably be our last podcast of the year 2007, and we'll be back with everyone after the first of the year with a special edition of the World Tour Passion Podcast. And I say that by faith, Jonathan, because we've teased people a few times before that any day now we're going to have dates for the Passion World Tour. Just hang on another month or hang on two more weeks, or any day now something's going to come. And it's just more complicated than we thought it was going to be to nail down dates and venues. And I'll tell you a little bit about that later in the podcast about our time in Paris. But we are very close, and I'm just going to take a huge step of faith here and say that by the time we come back after the new year, whether we do or don't, Jonathan, that's what I'm going out on today. We're going to have a World Tour Podcast as we come back in January, and we're going to tell people what's going on. If I have to make the dates up, we'll just make them up as we go. So it should be exciting when we come back for that. But today, just want to wrap up the year, basically, and wish everybody an incredible holiday and let you know a little bit about what's going on as we head into the new year. And January is going to take off fast, and then February is coming with two regional events in Dallas and in D.C., and then all of a sudden it's going to be crazy, and we're going to be going around the world. So we're excited. I hope you guys are doing well. If you're a college student or a university student, you're listening to this podcast, you need to turn this off immediately and go back to the library where you should be in this moment, or go back to your computer, to that project that you're working on, that paper that you should be working on. And once you're finished and all the studies are done, then you can come back, download the podcast, or put the podcast on your iPod, listen to it on the car on the way home as you're headed back to mom and dad and happy times, and knowing that all your schoolwork's done and it's behind you. I'm just the voice of reason today. You don't have to pay me extra for that. You can thank me later. But as someone who's failed out of two institutions, I understand the struggle. I know what some of you are going through today. So if you're in the podcast world right now and you're about to take finals tomorrow or the next day, or your projects are due or whatever, go for it. Do great at whatever it is you're doing. Come back to the podcast later. Know that we're praying for you and praying with you, and just really, really happy today that we don't have any final exams. So for those of you who do, our hearts go out to you. For the rest of you, keep listening. We got a couple treats for you today coming up a little bit later. We're going to interview a couple of folks on the Passion staff, our Passion staff team here at the Passion House, which just should be really exciting. And we're going to hear a little bit about what's coming up. We've been all over the country and the world. We've been in LA meeting people. We've been in Dallas meeting people. We've been in Austin, Texas meeting people. We've been in London meeting people. We've been in Paris meeting people. We've been in Uganda meeting people. I mean, we're doing our fair share to keep the airline industry afloat. So we'll come back with a couple of updates. I want you to hear a little bit from some of our Passion staff guys that have been around the country talking to college leaders and talking about what's coming. But I just want to reiterate, you know, we put this on our blog. If you don't know, on the first Monday of every month, we put a prayer post on our blog called First Monday. The idea there is just to link people around the world in praying for this generation of students, and particularly asking you to pray for us. And I know a lot of you pray all the time for Passion and pray for me personally. And I try to tell you how much that means to us, but I don't think I completely can communicate it. But part of the First Monday thing, list 16 prayer points every Monday, every first Monday of the month. And those 16 are, it's just a random way of us remembering 268, adding those numbers up, you get 16. And it's a manageable amount of stuff to sort of carry in your heart for the next 30 days or so. And so that's posted on our website and for December, be back in January, February, first Monday of every month, go to the 268 blog site and you'll find it there. But I mentioned this just in the little brief comments beforehand, but I just want us to stop today, I think, before we do anything else and just thank God. And we are really good askers of God. We're really good at going to God when we have troubles in our lives and saying, Lord, we need you to do this, and we're trusting you to do this, and we're believing you for that. But then God does something. He always is doing amazing things around us. And most of the time, we rarely turn around and go back. It reminds me of the story that Jesus was telling about the 10 lepers that got healed. And one of my favorite stories in the Bible, just for the sheer power of it, you know, these guys were they were hopeless, really, physically with the ailment that they had. And Jesus said to him, go show yourselves to the priest. And so that was a kind of an interesting response. But there's Jesus again giving a very interesting response. And so the 10 guys are like, okay, here we go. And they turn away from Jesus, and they start to head off to find the priest and to have this meeting with him as Jesus has told them to do. And on the way, it says, their leprosy is healed, which just paints a picture for me that, you know, if you could ever have a buy a DVD of some of these events, I would have liked to have seen that when guys walking down the road and a guy's finger appears, a guy's ear appears, a guy's nose is partially gone, comes back whole. And they're looking at each other. Maybe they don't even know what's happening, but the other guy looks at them and says, dude, your ear is back. That is phenomenal. And the guy looks up and, you know, he grabs it with his hand and they start rejoicing. They can't believe it. They're being healed. Their bodies literally are materializing before their eyes. And they're just going nuts. And then the story keeps going and it says, but one of them, that's 10% of them, one out of 10 guys turned around and went back to Jesus, and he dropped down on the ground at the feet of Jesus, and he started thanking him because he was the one that had supplied the power that brought that change to their lives. And Jesus asked the question, which is just, you know, it's not about those 9 guys. It's really about me today. And he said, I thought there were 10 of you. And it wasn't obviously Jesus saying, did I miscount? It was Jesus' way of saying, what happened to the other 9 guys? Why aren't they back here? Why don't they realize what I've done for them? And, you know, it's funny when you think about it. The scripture says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Sun shines on a godly man, and sun shines on an ungodly man. Air is free, at least to now. I mean, I'm looking at bottled water here on the table, and I'm pretty sure we're going to figure out how to bottle air and start selling that at some point. But at least for now, it's free, and everyone's breathing it. The hater of God is breathing air and actually hating and cursing God with the very breath that God gives him. And the lover of God is breathing that same air and praising God with the breath that God gives him. The scripture says God is the one who gives life and breath to all things. That's what it says in Acts. And so God is always gracing. He's always giving. He's always doing miracles. God doesn't just heal the people that pray for healing. He heals all kinds of people. He's the author of healing. He's the author of every blessing that comes down out of heaven, every good and perfect gift that there is on the planet for a righteous guy or an unrighteous guy. All the good and perfect gifts that we have in life come down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no changing and no shifting shadow. But it's only like 1 in 10 that actually look up and say, I can't believe you have blessed me with so much. I want to just stop and drop down right here and thank you for what you've done. And I just want us to be those kind of people. I want us to be people that thank God as much as we ask God, that come back to God with gratitude as much as we seek him with intercession or hoping for things to be different than they are in our lives. And it really dawned on me. We were at an event in here in Atlanta a few weeks ago, a youth event for youth leaders, and it was held in the Georgia World Congress Center. So anybody that was a part of Passion 07, that registers with you. And we were in the same exact place in there that we were for the overflow area, or actually the overflow area is not the right word, but our alternate venue for Passion 07, because we couldn't get everybody in the arena. So we had a couple thousand people across the street. We were linked together. If you didn't know about it, weren't there, it was a beautiful thing. But we were in that place in the World Congress Center, and I was walking out that night, and Crowder was around. He was playing the next morning, and Chris was there. He'd played in the session that I'd spoken in. And we were walking out the door to the loading dock, which is the way I got around from venue to venue. Somebody would meet me out there and drive me really quickly across the back ways to Phillips or then back across to the World Congress Center. So I'm walking out this loading dock that I'd walked out many, many times, that our team had been on many, many times as we were making Passion happen. And I walked out the door and I thought, here it is, November. And I'm walking out of the World Congress Center, the very same building where the year started for us on January 2nd. And here we are again, and just a flood came over me of all the places we've been, all the things we've seen, all the people we've been able to meet, all the environments that we've been in, all the continents that we've been on, all the cities that we've been to, all the messages that we've been able to carry, all the songs that we've been able to sing, all the prayers that we prayed, all the things our hands have touched, all the experiences that our lives have been able to embrace. And I was totally overwhelmed by what God had allowed us to do and how he had carried us through all the way from January to November. And yeah, we had a few other stops to go, a little jaunt to the West Coast and a little trip to Europe and a few other things were still to come in the year. But I got in the car and I said, man, we just need to praise God for what he's done and thank God for everything he's done for us. And I just want to encourage you somewhere along the way in the next couple of weeks before we wind down to the end of the year, just to let that moment happen for you. And I know all of us are hoping for great things. I know that you're praying for great things. You really want to see God do more in your life and in the lives of the people that you love. I know a lot of us are believing for massive things, supernatural-sized things that only God can do. But we have so much. We have seen so much, experienced so much, been through so much, been saved from so much. And I just think it's good for us to look back. And we talk about this passage around here all the time. And if you've been around us at all, you've heard me mention it. But everyone knows we're anchored in Isaiah 26:8. But if you read a few verses down in the 26th chapter of Isaiah, you come to verse 12, and this is what it says. It says, the Lord has established peace for us. For all that we have accomplished, you have done for us. That's pretty phenomenal right there. I mean, it opens with, Lord, you established peace for us. But then it comes on the backside and says, all we have accomplished, you have done for us. And that's been our theme around here at the Passion House for a long time, but it's definitely in my heart right now that, yeah, we've done a lot. We've been able to be a part of a lot. We've had an incredible year full of incredible experiences, but God is the one who's done it all. And everything we've accomplished, he has done for us. And it's just been God's work in and through us. And I was also thinking about Ephesians chapter 5, and I've always loved this passage. In fact, when we started out in college ministry, 21 or 2 years ago back at Baylor University, I did a 6 or 8 week series to open the Bible study we started. So here I am at Baylor with Shelley and a team of people, and we're launching this Bible study for college students. And the first night out of the gate, we're in this apartment clubhouse with about 40 college students maybe kind of crammed in there, and that was the beginnings of this whole journey. And I did a 6 or 8 week series on Ephesians chapter 5, and it's always been a hinge series for me and a hinge passage for me. It opens with, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. But as it comes down to the end of this opening passage, it says, and be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what God's will is. And then he goes into this passage that, you know, is super clear and sometimes misunderstood, but it's very, very obvious the point he's trying to make here. He says, do not get drunk with wine. And so that's just a little footnote for anybody that might be listening from a college campus and struggling with that whole question. If you're around people that are getting drunk and you're getting drunk, you're missing Ephesians chapter 5, where the very clear word of God is, if you're under the influence of alcohol, that's not where you want to be. And he tells you why in the very next part of this phrase. It's not about can or can't be drunk or you can or can't drink. He says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk with wine, which leads to dissipation, which is one of the kind of weird Bible words. It simply means it leads to the point of wasting your life, which is where the term wasted comes from, if you wondered about that. Don't get drunk with wine, for that's a waste of your life. And it is exactly as people say when they say, we were wasted last night. It's like, yes, you were. And in the process of that, you wasted that hour, that night, that opportunity for this next phrase. And this is the really cool part of it. But it says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. And so it's kind of like a trade-off, isn't it? It's like, do I want to be wasted and under the influence of alcohol, or do I want to be filled with the Spirit of God and under the influence of the Spirit of God? I find that it's hard to be under both influences at the same time. And so he says, be filled with the Spirit. And then here comes the fruit of that. And it sounds a little churchy and a little, you know, kind of like spiritually, but I love the heart of what he's saying here. He says, speak to one another. This is the result of being filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. And always, this is the part that people forget. There's a comma there. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the heart of it, you know? It's like if you are living in that connection with the Spirit of God and you're living in that relationship with Him, that you're aware of who He is and what He wants to do in your life, and you're opening your path, your heart, your voice, your mind, your gifts, your talent, your opportunities to Him. I mean, for me, that would be walking in front of a crowd of people, and I'm about to speak to people, and as I walk out in front of people, I'm praying almost every single time. I should be focused on it every time, but I've prayed it either right before I walked on that stage or as I'm walking on the stage. If you see my mouth moving, I'm not talking to myself or going crazy. I'm praying a prayer like this: Holy Spirit of God, fill me up and use me in this moment. Please speak through me. Take this opportunity. Do what I cannot do. Say what I can't say. Breathe on the words. Breathe on the talk. Empower me and use these words eternally that I'm about to speak. That's partnering with the Spirit of God. It's living in a connectivity with Him and knowing that He's the one that supplies life and power and the overcoming spirit to life. That's not normal for a human being. That comes as the Spirit of God brings His life and His power through Christ to us. And when that's happening and we're living in that relationship, whether it's on our way to school or on our way to work or on our way to a conversation or working through some difficulty or just hanging out in our private time doing whatever we're doing, and we're entering into that relationship with Him, the fruit of that, it says, is that there's going to be an overflow of worship, specifically musical worship, that we're going to speak to each other and we're going to sing out things that amplify who God is. But it also says part of the fruit of that is that we're always going to be giving thanks to God. We're always going to look for things and say, thank you for that. Wow, thank you for that. I appreciate that. I recognize that you just did that. I recognize that I don't do anything, that you do everything. And what I have and what I've earned and what I've accomplished and what I've achieved, all that has been possible because of you. And so thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And living in that attitude of gratitude through Christ and giving thanks to God for everything that happens in our lives, the good and the bad, because we know who He is, we believe in how much He's for us, and we're confident that everything He allows to come into our path is ultimately something that can be used for His glory and for our good. And so I just want us to end the year thanking God. And even in the spirit of this podcast, I want it to be a generous spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude to God. That's what Christmas is all about for us. It's not about getting presents. It's not about putting up a tree. Those things are fantastic, and I love them like everyone else does. But Christmas is about a spirit of gratitude. It's about saying, thank you, Jesus. It's about remembering again that rescue came in a manger and being moved by that to give thanks to God and to a lifestyle of worship that pushes that story out to the last and the least of these around us and says, hey, it's Christmas, and that means God's generous and God is lavish in what He does, and I want to be generous to you and I want to be lavish to you in meeting your needs. That's what Christmas is really all about. So we just want to say thank you to God and thank you to Jesus Christ and thank you to the Spirit of God for breathing life on us and for everything you have done for us, in us, through us, and around us in this year. I know what we have seen blows us away, and we've only seen the tiniest percentage of what you've actually done for us. And so thank you. And in the spirit of Christmas, we just want to we're going to take a little break here. And in the spirit of Christmas, Jonathan, we're going to bring people some Christmas cheer on this edition of the Passion Podcast. So this is a little bit of Chris Tomlin's Angels We Have Heard on High. And we hope that you enjoy it, that it puts you in that place where you know Christmas is coming soon. And we'll be back with a little bit more on the Passion Podcast right after this.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains.
Man, listening to Christmas music, it's just, there's something about it that, I don't know, it does something good to me, and I imagine it does the same thing good to all of you guys out there. And speaking of Christmas, we have just been in London and Paris. In fact, Shelley and I just got back a few days ago, and we've had a team that's just come back from Kampala, Uganda as well. We got people going all over the place all the time. But man, if you want to see something spectacular, I've got to tell you, get on a plane and go to Paris for Christmas. It's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. And London was always one of my favorite Christmas cities. In fact, most people know London is one of my favorite cities, period. And London is always great at Christmas time, and it's even getting better. I hadn't been to London for Christmas in a couple of years, but the lights and the vibe and the decorations, it's really feeling good there. But Paris, oh, wow, it is the city of lights. I think you knew that. But this Champs-Élysées, you know, this main road where the Tour de France ends every year, and you've seen it on TV if you're Tour de France people, and if not, you should be. But it's five lanes of traffic going one way and five lanes of traffic going the other way from this Place de la Concorde, I think is what it's called, which is kind of the hub, the architectural hub of Paris. And then up from that, going one way, goes down through the old palace gardens and then down to the palace, which is where the Louvre is. But if you go the other direction, you start up the Champs-Élysées, and you head up a little incline all the way up to the Arc de Triomphe, and it is magnificent. So you got 10 lanes of traffic. You got a sidewalk on either side of the 10 lanes of traffic that's as wide as five lanes of traffic. So we're talking about 20 lanes wide from storefront to storefront. Cobblestone, Champs-Élysées, and tree-lined all the way from the Place de la Concorde all the way up to the Arc de Triomphe. And when you go there at Christmas time, the trees all have these little blue lights on them, and then hanging in them are these little my strips, if you know anything about production, these little yardstick size digital strips that are hanging in the trees, and the light starts at the top and it just drops down to the bottom and freezes there. And so when you're looking up the street, you see the blue lights. And I mean, we're talking, I don't know how far it is, it's at least a half a mile, it could easily be a mile from the Place de la Concorde up to the Arc de Triomphe. It's just, it's a long way up there of this magnificent boulevard. And all the way up it, these blue lights on these trees, two rows of trees on each side, and then these little icicle-looking things dropping down in the trees. And, you know, wow, that's all I can say about it. And it definitely put me in the spirit of Christmas in a big, big way. And so no knock on the lights of London, which I still love, but Paris was pretty special. And just two quick footnotes there. A few of you did email us and come to the London gathering. So the podcast, we're convinced, is reaching dozens of people around the world still, which is phenomenal. But a couple of you heard about it and made it to our London meeting, but it was incredible. We met at Hammersmith Apollo Friday a week ago. And there were about 30-some-odd people there representing most all the major players in London who have a heart and a vision for college students. And what was really, really cool about it, Jonathan's over there. I love it. He's our research assistant. He's got the Champs-Élysées up online and looking for pictures of lights. And there they are right there. Where did you find that picture? Just Googled it. So go to Google. Google Champs-Élysées at Christmas or Christmas lights on the Champs-Élysées. And that's Champs-Élysées for some of you guys out in Texas. But I heard some guy saying that while we were there. Can you help me find my way to the Champs de Elysees? I was like, wow, that's America for you. Way to go. But anyway, you can Google some images of that. I took some on my phone, but I think if you've seen any of our 268 blog, you know the BlackBerry Pearl has probably the worst camera. I think it's like a half a pixel, the camera that's in the BlackBerry Pearl, and it just doesn't do any justice. And so I didn't even bother putting any pictures from Paris online. But it's stunning, and you can find some on Google Images, and it'll fire you up, and maybe you can save up your money and go one day. It'd be awesome. But anyway, we're in the Apollo, the Hammersmith Apollo. We got this incredible group of men and women there who, honestly, their response to Passion London was, I was expecting a great response, but it was way over the top. But one of the cool things was there was just such a spirit of unity among many different factions there that kind of have different flavors, and they're in different streams, but they all love the same Jesus. And it was just very, very humbling to be in the midst of them. It was probably the first time all these people have been in one room together. And we met up actually in the balcony of the Hammersmith Apollo, which holds 3,600 people, which looks really big when it's empty and you're standing in there. And you know that no one's ever done a collegiate-focused worship event in the city of London. And you're like, wow, this is a big room. I hope it's full of people come June of next year. And these guys, they just kept saying, we don't think it's going to be big enough. We believe God's going to do something amazing. And we just sat up in the balcony, just the 30 of us, and we shared a vision of what's going on. We talked about it together, and then we just prayed together over the Hammersmith Apollo. And it's a really, really incredible time. So I believe something really, really great is going to happen there. And then had a great weekend in London, got to speak at one of the churches there that some great friends of ours there, so spoke all day on Sunday. Then we took the Eurostar to Paris, which is really, really cool. We go to the St. Pancras station, which is brand new, multi-million dollar, if not billion dollar train station that they built right near the King's Cross station. And it's just fabulous. Everything about it's incredible. And you get on this train, you kind of settle into your seat. And I mean, the thing goes 130 miles an hour. The Eurostar, 300 kilometers per hour. I think that adds up to about 130 miles per hour in places. And take off, you go down through the south of England, you go under the English Channel for a while. So for about 20 minutes going, you know, 100 miles an hour, you're underground, underwater, which is pretty cool. And then you pop up and you're in France and there's nothing to look at. And that's no knock on the south of England or France, but there's not a lot to look at except farmland for the whole journey. But 2 hours and 15 minutes later, you're pulling in to Paris, France, and it's just a really great experience. And we, Shelley and I had never been there together, so we got there. It was really cool. We went there to look at a venue, and I think we got it, people. So I can't tell you what it is, of course, because we can't tell you anything about the Passion World Tour that you really want to know right now. But we are coming to Paris, and I'm pretty sure we've got a venue now. I thought we had one when I was there a couple of weeks ago with our Paris team, but one has popped up on the radar, and they wanted someone to see it firsthand. So Shelley and I volunteered to sacrifice and go to Paris on the Eurostar to take a look at this venue. So you'll be hearing more about that soon, I hope. But it is in a great area of Paris. It is in the right area of Paris. It's a really cool place. It holds about 2,000 people, which seems really small in some ways, but the folks in Paris that we've talked to said if 2,000 university students came together, that would be a phenomenal thing for the city of Paris. No one's ever seen anything like this happen just for university students before. So thank you for your prayers if you've been praying about that. It looks like we found the right place. It looks like the date's going to be perfect. Great synergy in London. And then our team came back from Uganda, and I haven't gotten a full report yet, but they said there's no way in a short amount of time we can tell you what's going on. It's just incredible. I don't know what he is, the president or the head of the university there in Kampala, the largest university in town. Makere, maybe not have been the best pronunciation, but I just went for it anyway. Makere or Makere University that's there. The head of that university is on the steering committee that's actually bringing the Passion Gathering to Uganda. And so that's a really, really big, big deal. And I think it's going to get us a long ways down the road towards seeing something for East Africa happen that's just mind-boggling. So thank you for your prayers in all of these World Tour cities. And that's part of this 268 prayer focus on the first Monday that's on there right now. We just are trusting God for a lot of details. And as much as you want to pray for us, there's several cities on there. I would encourage you just to write the name of one of those cities on a card and stick it in your Bible, stick it somewhere where you see it all the time, and just pray. You're preparing the way for an event to happen that's going to change a history and change a nation. And you can be a part of that, even from Iowa or from Florida or from some country that we're not actually going to land in on the Passion Tour. You can be a part of that just by praying and preparing the way. So in the spirit of the Champs-Élysées and a little Christmas cheer, this is the David Crowder Band, as only they could do, giving us a little taste of Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Navidad, prospero año y felicidad. We wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. We wanna wish you a Merry Christmas. We wanna wish you a Merry Christmas from the bottom of our hearts.
This is exciting, Jonathan. By the way, we came back from Feliz Navidad, which is kind of weird because we put a Spanish song on the end of the whole thing about Paris. So somebody's out there going, that's not a French song, that's a Spanish song. Well, we know it's a Spanish song, but we don't have any French songs. So I know, is it Joyeux Noël, or how would you say that, Jonathan? You speak many languages. Anybody want to take a vote on how you say Merry Christmas in French? Joyeux or Joyeuse or Joy, some version of Joyeux. Jonathan's going to look it up for us. Noël. We should have Danica come in. She speaks French and tell us how to do that. But anyway, Merry Christmas in whatever language you speak. And yes, we know Feliz Navidad was a nice, fun Mexican song. In fact, in the background of that track, a lot of people don't know this, is an actual recording of a Mexican restaurant ambient sound. So part of that little happy cheer you hear in the background is actually people sitting in a Mexican restaurant being recorded. So there you have it. But anyway, we've got some special guests back here. I went through the Passion House today, and we've got Macy and Christina with us, who are very focused on our regional gatherings that we're doing around the country, and they just got back today on the early flight from Austin. They are sweating bullets right now. Macy Willis, who probably would be the all-star talker of all the people I've ever known before, is literally sweating right here in front of me, and Christina is not a talker in general. I mean, she obviously can carry on great conversation, but she's typically a little more laid back, and here they are, because they just flew in from Austin this morning. You came on the early flight. I heard somebody set the alarm an hour early today. So not only was it the earlier flight, but it ended up being the way earlier flight this morning.
Yeah, I'll make sure that everybody knows that was Christina who set the alarm an hour early for 4:15 a.m.
Yeah, so you guys were up 4:15 Central Time. So on a flight. And by the way, Macy, I just want to say this, and you know how much I love you, but Macy is from Dublin, Georgia. So if any of you guys around the world start hearing this accent and think, oh my goodness, what is going on? That's Dublin, Georgia, ladies and gentlemen. So all you have to do is take a flight to Atlanta and drive south for 6 or 8 hours, and you're deep. Okay, 2 hours. And it'll feel like 6 or 8 by the time you get down there. And yeah, that's no knock on Dublin. We don't want any emails from Dublin or Tifton or Valdosta or Albany or Hiram. Is that a place?
Yeah, that's a place. Is that a place? I'm not from there, though.
Cairo.
That would be Cairo.
Cairo, is that a place? Some that other places place down in South Georgia. Yes. Give us 4 or 5 more.
You've got Sylvester.
You
have
Thomasville.
We have a Nashville.
Thomasville.
Monroe,
as I've heard some people say.
Osceola, Omega.
All right. So any listeners from down there, I just want you to know we love you. We love South Georgia. We love being above you on the map. Not above. I don't mean that. I don't mean it like that. I mean we love being on the map with you in this great state of Georgia. We were one of the original 13 colonies, by the way, and everybody can't say that. Only 13 of us can say that. So there you have it. Christina is from Missouri, which was not one of the original 13 colonies, but they're still a great state nonetheless, and that's the Show Me State. So you guys don't believe it unless you can touch it, smell it, feel it, hold on to it. They're down to earth, salt of the earth people. They're the real people of America from Missouri, and you'll know that when Christina talks. But anyway, you guys were in Texas. We went to L.A., by the way, had a really cool gathering over there with about 70 college leaders a few weeks ago at Staples Center, where the Lakers and the Clippers and the Kings all play, and that's where Passion's going to be across the street at the Nokia Theater at LA Live. I just got that right for the first time all by myself. Macy was about to help me. And it was really encouraging just seeing some of the folks there. And Todd Proctor came, one of our buddies from Rock Harbor Church down in Costa Mesa, and shared a little bit of vision from his point of view, what's going to happen. And I felt encouraged. I came away thinking that people in LA are starting to find out about the Passion Regional. It's coming fast. It's like 6 weeks from now or something like that, which is kind of a scary thought. But it's a month after Christmas. We'll be in L.A. And, wow, what were you guys' impressions about L.A.? Did you feel good after being out there? You guys covered a lot of ground. You went up to San Luis Obispo. You went out to...
We went to UC Irvine down near Newport. And, yeah, we really enjoyed our trip to L.A. It was, of course, a beautiful place. And we would kind of like to open an office out on the West Coast. Christine and I will be the first to raise our hands to say we would like to go there. But we were excited, and I think one of the cool things is just that they are excited, and they're talking about it, and everybody needs to just get on the line and start registering. And the cool thing was just how connected some of them are. And even up in San Luis Obispo, I was sitting around a table with about six or eight different pastors who are from four different churches and three different campuses, and they were talking about how the students had already wanted to go to churches and ask different people from the congregation to donate money to get some buses. And they've done that before and had eight and ended up having like nine, like 90 kids to go to a conference before. So just excited that they're looking outside.
That'd be really cool. Yeah.
Trying to get here together. So we're excited about LA.
So then you guys went off to Dallas because we're just trying to get face to face with people, by the way. And in case you, I think I've said this on the podcast recently, and I've been around the world a couple of times, so forgive me if I'm saying it again, but we know that most people don't know who we are. And there's sort of this perception that everyone knows about Passion and every college student knows about Passion. And you guys, you know, anything y'all do, you just have to say you're doing it and people just show up. You know, we try to do an event and can't get people to come, but you just say it's Passion whatever and tens of thousands of people show up. And I don't think people have any idea how few people really know about Passion and how hard we work to tell the story of what God's doing around the world. And so for us to go to Dallas means, yeah, we're going to be there in February, but we're going to have to come sooner than that. And so you guys went out to Dallas and you sat around with college pastors and you drove down to Austin and you met up with some folks down there just because we want to build relationships. We want to be face to face with people. We want to hear what's going on in their world. We want to learn from them about what God's doing so that it's not the mentality of, well, Passion's just going to roll in and do our thing, but we want to fit in to what God's doing in general. And so I know you guys had sent some updates while we were coming home from Paris. I was getting your emails about being in Texas and how excited you were about stuff you were hearing there. But, you know, Passion started in Texas, by the way. That was where we got our lift in 1997 in Austin, Texas. So it's pretty cool to think that we're going to be back there. We were there for Passion 97, Passion 98, Passion 99, which was an amazing time in Fort Worth. We were back there for One Day 2003 in Sherman. So Texas has had the bigger share of Passion, more than Nashville, more than Atlanta over the years, but it's going to be really cool to be back there. So Christina, tell us how you felt about being in Texas and kind of some of the vibe that was going on there and some of the people that you met.
Yeah, I think one of the cool things about being in Texas is that it was a little bit different than our trips to Boston, Chicago, and LA. It's just that being from Texas is a little more people knew about Passion, so it was a little bit easier not having to go back too far with the history of it, just with a few people that we met with. But both our time in Dallas and in Austin, we just saw how connected college ministers were to each other, and so that was the cool part about it, and just seeing that it's a work in progress for both of them, but they've been working really hard at it, and the ministers come together in Austin. They come together on a weekly basis and pray together. And just seeing that was really evident when we met with all the different ministers there, that they each knew each other. And they, every meeting that we had, they said, "Who are you meeting with next?" And they knew the person that we were meeting with next, which was just really cool to see that.
You know, that's exciting. And I know that it really excited you guys, because part of what Passion's all about is building unity and believing that Jesus is going to become more famous when we make a louder anthem for him. And when we're divided and even worse, fighting against each other, that's just keeping the university or the city from hearing the name of Jesus as loud as they can possibly hear it. And I mean, there are little things we're all not going to agree on. But the main thing that Jesus is the Son of God, raised from the dead, giver of life, hope of salvation, that he is the famous one of all people in life, and he should be because he created everything and rescued and restored all of us. I mean, we can rally around that, and we can amplify that message and tell the story of who he is. And I think when you go into a city and you know that our heartbeat is about creating common ground for unity, and you go visit a campus pastor and he doesn't know any of the other campus pastors on his campus, then you're already discouraged a little bit because you're like, well, how are your students ever going to have this heart for the kingdom if you don't even know the guy that's leading the campus ministry right next door? And you were saying in Austin, it was completely opposite of that. Everyone knew each other. And are you saying that every single Wednesday, these guys and girls come together, guys and ladies come together and pray together?
Yeah, they do. They have a ministry called Campus Renewal that a guy just had a heart to do that, and so they meet every Wednesday, and it's not everybody every Wednesday, but at least it's there every Wednesday for them to get together.
That's so encouraging. You know, and I've been there, and when I was at Baylor for the 10 years that we were there, we started this process of getting college leaders in a room on a weekly basis and meeting each other and praying for each other, and I'm doing that on a national level now, and it's a pain. It is a pain. Because it's not on your agenda of things to do. It's not what you're getting paid to do. It's not what you're getting evaluated on doing. And you can't go to your pastor or your leader or your boss and say, hey, I spent 2.5 hours today going to the college leaders' prayer gathering. And they're like, well, that's great. That's not what we're paying you to do. But it's important. It's vital. And even though it's hard work, I've found that building unity in relationships is the hardest thing that you do because it takes time. And it takes patience, and it takes a lot of humility. And I just hope, Christina, that that picture, even you telling that story, will inspire somebody somewhere else in America or around the world to say, you know what, I only know one other person doing college ministry on our campus. That's crazy. I should at least meet these people. And we were somewhere recently where guys were talking to me about having influence on a campus, and someone really challenged these guys, and these guys are going for it in ministry. And this person came back to them and said, well, do you go to the interfaith ministry meeting that happens every quarter? And they're like, are you kidding me? We wouldn't be caught dead in the interfaith ministry meeting because that's lame. And it is all these different religions, and it is all these different kinds of people that don't believe what we believe, but yet the campus recognizes this whole thing. And he said, well, if you want to have influence on the campus, you need to be at that meeting. And what would it look like if all of a sudden 10 or 12 Christian leaders showed up at the interfaith meeting and just said, we're just here because we want to be a part of what God's doing on this campus. But then to meet together and to pray for each other. And I'll tell you what it's done in my life is that when the little rifts come, and they're going to come, and one ministry gets on top of another one, and hey, we planned something on Thursday, and we already had something planned that Thursday, or I heard that, you know, you stole our worship leader, and, you know, those little things happen, and it always trickles back to the leader, and it's like, hey, did you hear what such and such a ministry did? And that leader always, if they're working out of the flesh, is going to say, I know, and they're just going to put fuel on that fire, and it's going to create more division. And they do that for the sake of galvanizing that student into their ministry and saying, yeah, but we're, you know, not going to do that, or we're different than that. And I think it's so cool when you know the leader of that other ministry and somebody comes to you and they say, but do you know about so-and-so and so-and-so? And you're like, no, I don't know specifically about what you're talking about, but I know the leader of that. In fact, I pray with him every week. And he's so-and-so and so-and-so, and I love that guy, and I am so for him, and been praying for him about this, that, and the other in his life. And just like that, conversation dies, and it's like, oh, okay, so you don't really want to foster division. You really want to build up unity. And I'm not saying that we just accept everybody and everything. I think people understand that. I'm saying we accept people, and we build up people, and that's got to be the greatest thing in the world. But do you guys feel like Dallas is going to happen? I mean, you know, we've been talking about L.A. forever and ever, and we sort of left Dallas out. I think Dallas-Fort Worth and the Metroplex, as they love to be called, and then the greater surrounding areas out to Midland and Odessa and Amarillo and Lubbock and Tyler and Longview and Waco and Temple and Killeen and Austin and Houston and San Antonio. And, you know, I lived in Texas, by the way. I lived in Fort Worth and in Waco, and I love Texas. My wife is from Houston. Most people know that. But it's cool. I mean, and we kind of left them out. We haven't really highlighted them because it's not as, you know, happening as the West Coast in some people's minds. But I think this is going to be an amazing time, and I'm thrilled about being back there, and I'm hoping they're feeling the same way. I'm hoping that you guys picked up on that while you were there.
Yeah, I think they really are. And the cool thing is just listening to all these, I mean, you're all college leaders, and you know your college leaders kind of come and go and end up moving, and God takes them to some other place. And the neat thing is after we talked to a bunch of these leaders down in all these in Dallas and in Austin, they just kept saying, I'm going to go back and call my friends that are over in Louisiana, and I'm going to call my friends up in Oklahoma and Colorado, and just joining all those states together. And because they have kind of moved around, and even you were just talking about connecting, and I think a cool story that we heard when we were down there was we met with this pastor who was on the south side of Austin, has about 100 students gathering during the week, but they're not connected to a campus because they're too far south. And so one of the campus ministry leaders picked up the phone and called this guy. They connected, and he said, come do it in my building. You're welcome to use our building. So here are two different campus ministries, you know, going after the same goal and really joining together. And I think that was something cool for us to see, and just the students' excitement. You know, we walked on the campus with a student, and she goes to St. Edward's, yet all the UT students were saying hey to her. And when we were at UC Irvine, we were walking around with a campus pastor, and kids everywhere going, hey, man, what are you doing on campus? And come play pool with us. And, you know, these campus leaders are not standing in a building going, we're going to have the coolest worship service on Wednesday night. I mean, they're doing life with college students, and they're passionate about, you know, gathering a group together and coming up to Dallas or over to Dallas. So we need everybody to be there.
Yeah, it's up. That's good. Yeah, up from Austin or over from UC Irvine, whichever way you want to come. As you were telling us, there are 100,000 students in Austin, and these leaders who are very networked, and because of that, they have a very good pulse on what's going on campus-wide in the city. And they were telling you guys that what percentage of the students were they saying were plugged into a local church there?
They're saying that probably less than 10% of the students, and it's a little over 100,000 students in all the different colleges in Austin.
And that, I mean, that's it. That's why Passion exists. That's why campus ministry is important. There are 90,000 students in Austin, which is, in to your knowledge, and maybe for to my knowledge too, the most networked campus leader city in the world. And all these guys are pulling together, and yet still in their city, there are over 90,000 college students in Austin, Texas tonight that are going to go to sleep tonight for one more night of their lives without having any idea how much God loves them and how valuable they are to Him and how He has created their lives for purpose and how He has a plan for them that really will bring them all the things that they dream about and all the things that they long for and allow their lives to count for the stuff that matters most. And we want to see that change. And I hope a lot of people from Austin come up to Dallas. I hope you Oklahoma people come down, Louisiana people, Arkansas people, New Mexico, Colorado, Tennessee, Alabama. I mean, we've got people registering from weird states to all these events. So it's kind of like we got some geographical weirdness happening. But I love it. And we got people from North Carolina coming to California. We got people from all over the place going all over the place. And I don't want to forget D.C. We haven't, you know, we can only cover so much ground at a time. But D.C. is fast. It's coming the week after Dallas-Fort Worth. And I just need to say, and I hope you understand this if you're listening to the Passion Podcast and you're like, you know what, I'm not coming to one of the regionals, Louie, and I don't even live near any of them, and I'm not even 18 to 25, so I don't even get to come if I wanted to come. And it just sounds like you guys are talking about events all day long. Well, we are talking about events because we believe these events will be catalytic moments that will change people's lives. And we saw that in Boston, and we saw it in Chicago. And I'm not ashamed to say I want as many people as possible to be a part of an experience like we had in Boston and Chicago. It is not about numbers. It's not about money. Trust me, we will not make money no matter how it comes down. It's not about that with us. It's about seeing a nation change. And I've been in this Nokia Theater in Dallas. It's one of my favorite venues that I've ever been in. And I can see in my mind this place packed full of students. I've never seen it packed before. We've had huge crowds there on the Tomlin tours that we've been there, but I've never seen it full before. And it ought to be full of college students. And then D.C., you know, it's just a slow comer right now, to be really honest. And I'm thinking that's because these people are really busy. They're high intellects up there in D.C., and these kids are really smart, and they're really bogged down their studies. And February seems like a long ways away to them. But, you know, it's we need to see kind of a response from D.C., I would say, that lets us know, hey, we're out here, and if you've been wondering whether we're out here or not, we're really out here, and we know it's coming, and we're telling people about it, and we're networking, and we're planning on being a part. I saw where 10 people registered from Long Island day before yesterday. That fired me up. That was from a friend of ours. Dad's a pastor of their church, so that was kind of a cool thing. But I was like, okay, Long Island's coming. That's good. But how about Roanoke? That would be good, or Virginia Beach, or you know, anywhere else in there. So we'd like to see, you know, D.C. kind of step up to the plate and kind of come on the scene here.
I mean, we're excited about D.C. and I've been talking about it a lot more lately just after doing L.A. and Dallas, and we're excited to get to D.C. as well and talk to leaders there and just see what the vibe is out there and people know about it. Just they're not registering yet, so we're waiting for that to happen.
And for all of you New England guys that miss Boston, or maybe you're from the Midwest and you miss Chicago and you're thinking, wow, man, I'm not going out west. Well, then come on to D.C. because we're going to be close enough for you there. So join us there, too.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And by the way, I almost forgot, January 17th, we're going to be hosting a vision casting time in Dallas. And I know a lot of you just heard the vision, so you don't really need any vision casting, because if you're listening to our podcast, you know who we are, know what we're about, and you already know what our vision is. But if you have a friend that's kind of like on the bubble, I'm not sure, I don't know much about passion, bring them. That'd be a great time. This is not for people to come and hang out, by the way. It's not going to be a passion event. It's a lunch. It's vision casting. It's informational. It's inspirational. That sounded cool. That's our goal, is to inspire you with great information and vision. But really, we just want to be face-to-face with people. And we're going to be at, can you tell us where we're going to be, or do we not know where we're going to be yet? We're not sure yet.
Yeah, we don't have it set yet. We just know the date. So.
Cool. In the history, tradition of passion, we don't know where we're going to be yet. We don't know much about much. But we do know we'll be there on the 17th of January. That's a Thursday. And it's going to be at 10:30 in the morning. So just drive around the Metroplex, you know, at 10:30 and see if you see a bunch of cars out in front of something and go in and say, is this the passion, you know, regional vision casting time? And, you know, if it's not, then just drive around some more. Obviously, we'll have a date, and we'll have that date hopefully nailed down in the next week or so. Does that feel like a possibility?
Yes, it's January 17th, but we'll have...
I think I said a date. We'll have a location nailed down.
Yes. Hopefully in the middle of the city, just an easy way for everybody to get to it. Yep. We're talking to several people, so it should be easy.
So we don't need volunteers for people to host it, because we're already talking to some people. So we don't need a lot of phone calls and emails saying, hey, have it at our place. We'd love to have you at our place on the 17th. Or do we want to open it up to a derby competition, a wide open... Look at them. They're looking at each other like, I don't know.
Sure, we're going to give y'all Jonathan Sheehan's cell phone number, and you can call him to let him know. No, we
don't use last names on the podcast.
Oh, sorry.
For security and safety. They've only known him as Jonathan all this time now.
Oh, no.
So now who knows what's going to happen. God bless you, Jonathan. We'll pray for you. But anyway, it's going to be on the 17th. I'll bring this to a close, and we'll let you know where it's going to be. But if you want to know where it's going to be, and then send an email to regionalsusa@268generation.com, which comes to Christina and Macy, and they will shoot you an email back and let you know when and where it's going to be. And we'd love for you to come. Even if you want to drive down from Oklahoma City, that'd be cool. Make a road trip out of it, or drive up from Houston or whatever. We'd love for you to be there that day, 10:30 a.m. to Thursday, January 17th. We will be in Dallas. And so there you have it. This has been the Christmas edition of the Passion Podcast. And we didn't have a lot of Christmas cheer, but we did have Angels We Have Heard on High, and we had Feliz Navidad. And so from all of us here at the Passion House to all of you guys around the world, we wish you a Merry Christmas, and that your holidays would be fantastic, that they'd be filled with gratitude for who Jesus is and what he's done, and that you'll have your eyes open to be able to be generous to the people around you. And that we'll spend this season not worrying about how generous people are going to be to us, but we'll spend this season looking for opportunities to be generous to one another. And after the first of the year, I'm just going to keep believing that we're going to have the world tour podcast. We're going to have something to say. We're going to tell you where we're coming and when. And if not, I promise you, I'm just making stuff up. And so we'll be back with you after the first of the year. Christina Macy, wow, this has been our first time that we've actually, you know, had live Passion team people come down from their rooms in the Passion House, and it went pretty well. I feel like we should do it again and maybe get some more people down here, Jonathan, and let the world meet these fantastic people that are doing all this stuff. So to all you guys in South Africa, there are boxes on their way. That's all I can tell you. And all you guys in Australia and New Zealand, many boxes are on their way. And we just pray that the Spirit of God somehow will do phenomenal things in the lives of people all over the world. We love you guys. We will be back after the first of the year. Merry Christmas. And we love you.